Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. And if you wouldn't mind, take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the Gospel record of John. The Gospel record of John and John in chapter number 14. The Gospel record of John and John and chapter number 14. The Lord Jesus Christ in John chapter 13 through 16 is traveling with the disciples. Oftentimes, historians, theologians will call this section the Upper Room Discourse. But Jesus Christ is leaving from what some people call the Last Supper, and he begins to take his disciples and travel with them to the Garden of Gethsemane. That chapters 13 through 17 happen in the same evening. It happens in one conversation as they're moving forward. Jesus Christ knows that as he is traveling to the Garden of Gethsemane, he is also traveling to the end of this road, this path. That in a matter of hours, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be arrested. He is going to be put on a false trial. He's going to be beaten. He's going to be battered. He's going to be scourged. He's going to be mocked. Then the Lord Jesus Christ also knows that he is going to be put up on a cruel cross. And there he's going to die for your sins and mine. He is going to literally pay our hell, our debt, our separation for a moment of time. And we cannot explain it, that God the Father turned his back on God the Son. And the Son felt what it was like to be away from the presence of God in that moment of time, because that's what we deserve for our punishment. Jesus knew all of this. He knew that his time on this earth was limited. It was almost over. Jesus told his disciples in here that he was going to be ascended up, but he was going to send another comforter. But Jesus knew that his time in this earthly body was limited here on this earth. And as he has traveled with these men for 3 years, he has now taken them aside and has given them just a little bit more. He's giving them last minute instructions for the purpose that he wants them to continue on, even if he's not there. He wants the local church. Remember, the church started with Christ and his disciples. He didn't want the church to fall apart because he is leaving. He didn't want Christianity in his budding form to die because he left. The idea was he wanted them to continue, and that he wanted the disciples to know how to get access to God, how to get power from God, how to get wisdom from God, how to operate, how to function, how to move, how to motivate, how to be the people that God want them to be without Jesus overlooking them bodily. And so there are very important instructions given in the Gospel record of John chapter 13 all the way up to 16. And then of course in chapter 17, Jesus gives his high priestly prayer where he's talking to the Lord. And in the midst of John chapter number 14, 15, and 16, Jesus repeats a phrase 4 times. Now, Jesus only has a small amount of time. And if he repeats something 4 times in 4 different spots, there's an emphasis that he is trying to place. There is something he's trying to get across, something he is attempting to teach these men. And he is trying to nail it down and remind them and point them out. If you don't mind, we're just going to look at the first instance to start off with, and we're going to explore all 4. But notice with me, if you don't mind, the Gospel record of John chapter 14. The Gospel record of John chapter 14, and let's begin together starting at verse number 13. The Gospel record of John chapter 14 in verse number 13, the Bible says, "And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that my Father may be glorified in the Son. And if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. if you love me, keep my commandments. And I pray to the Father that he would give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, mark a phrase that we find in verse number 13 that we're going to see several times in the next couple chapters. John 14 and verse 13, ask in my name. Ask in my name. Remember, as we're studying this year on the names of God, we also want to know how to use God's name. Here we learn a principle of how to use God's name, of asking in Jesus' name, asking in his name. If you don't mind, let's go ahead and practice this and talk to him now. Lord, thank you again for you being a wonderful God. And as we come here to open up your Bible, we know that there are things that are our responsibility and things that are your responsibility. For us, we have a responsibility to be dead to self and spirit-filled listeners so we could hear your voice. We could hear what you're saying and be prepared to respond and obey it. We know that there are things that is yours to do. And Lord, by your Spirit, to teach us, to open our eyes, to illuminate, to make it clear that you would make this passage understandable to us. That is something for you to do. We're asking that you would open up this message. Guide and direct me as the pastor, the speaker, the preacher. Fill me with your Spirit, that you would guide and direct. And we believe that it is your will for you to do something today. It is your will for you to get a hold of someone's heart. It is your will to teach someone about prayer and the power of prayer. And because we believe it's your will, we could ask it in your name that you would do this. Lord, thank you again for you being a wonderful God. Direct even now in Jesus, your precious name we pray. Amen. As we begin to approach this principle, may I remind you that when Jesus is telling them to pray in my name, he's not giving them a new tagline. Some people say, how do I know when someone's done praying? When they, you know, close it out in Jesus' name. So many people use that as a closing. This is how I officially close my prayer. Oftentimes, we use it as filler words that we're not even meaning it. We just know this is how we sign our letter. This is how we sign it. And we don't even think about, what does it mean to pray in Jesus' name? In Jesus' name, I pray. What does this mean? Again, it is not a tagline. It's not a filler word. It's not a way to signal that, hey, we're done praying. By the way, can you end a prayer without saying in Jesus' name? Yeah, absolutely. Because we're talking with God. It's a conversation. I don't end all my conversations with my wife saying, I love you. The end. We're done talking. Right? There, I don't have to sign off. I'm 10-4. I don't have to cut this conversation off. So why is it that we're supposed to pray in Jesus' name? Well, that's a good question. Well, if you don't mind, let's explore and let's learn a little bit about this. That to pray in Jesus' name, and I want you to make sure you get this word, is meaning that we are in alignment with his will. To pray in Jesus' name means that we are in alignment with Jesus' will. That means that as we're praying, we're not looking for what we want. We're not praying what we desire. We are praying saying, Lord, this is what I believe for you to do. This is what I believe that you want to get accomplished. It is for the glory of the Father. To pray in Jesus' name is pretty much saying, God, this is what I believe you want to get accomplished, and I'm praying that you would glorify your name through the prayers that I pray. Amen. Quite simply, that means that there's sometimes that we're praying that's not in alignment. For example, some of you may say, Lord, I want $1 million in Jesus' name. You understand when you put Jesus' name on there doesn't automatically mean it's God's will. When you're saying in Jesus' name, it's not a secret password to go ahead and say, all right, God, get this done. I've heard some people say that. As long as you say in Jesus' name, you can claim it. Well, there are quite simply some things that are not God's will. fact, God could probably not trust any of us with $1 million because we'd ruin everything. If nothing else, we just wouldn't be dependent on God. We'd come up with plans of how to stretch that thing out. You give it to Zeb and he'll turn around and just give you a couple $1 million afterwards. Hey, you know, there are some people that can just take that money and make more money out of it. But that's not what he's saying. He's not just saying this is a way to name it and claim it. There are some people who teach that. To pray in Jesus' name is a secret way of saying you need to be confident in your prayer. As long as you go to God with confidence that you can ask for anything. God, red Lamborghini. Praying in Jesus' name isn't a secret way to force God. That God said, oh, nope, it's what I needed. As long as you say, I wish that whatever you say comes to pass. God is not a genie in the bottle. And we cannot force him. He is God and we are the servant. We don't have the authority to force God to do anything. But what we can do is go, Master, this is your creation, your ministry, and this is what we need for your ministry, for your service. In order for me to accomplish what you want me to do as a servant, this is what I need. And we could pray reasonably and confident that, Lord, this is what I need. Lord, there are some things that is the master's job to do. For example, just taking the idea of a slave or a servant's relationship with a master, there are certain things that a slave is not supposed to worry about. The slave does not worry about where does he live. That's the master's job to take care of. The slave doesn't worry about his health. It's the master's job to take care of it. I know that right now some of the taboo things in your head are woo, but you understand we need to have the right relationship. But this is a freeing relationship when we realize there's a lot of stuff that's not my business. Amen. I'm just supposed to be a good steward of what the master has given me, but the master has his responsibility to keep me fed, to keep me clothed, to get me taken care of. That's the master's job. And I could go to the master and say, Master, in order for your servant to accomplish what you've told me to do, this is what your servant needs. And in your name, I pray this, the name of the master, the name of the supplier, your responsibility to take care of it. You understand, when we understand the division of labor, we understand that he's got his responsibility. I can now pray in his name in alignment. This is what the master needs. This is what the master, in order for me to accomplish what the master's given. We can know that there are certain things that it's God's will. We know it's God's will there, that he's not willing that any shall perish, but all should come to repentance. I can pray in the master's name, in Jesus' name. Lord, would you please save him? And I could pray in alignment because I know that he's willing for them to get saved. Lord, do what it takes for them to realize that they are a sinner and that they offended a holy, righteous God, and that God, you have to save them. I can't do anything. I could be the instrument. You have to do all this work. And I could pray in Jesus' name because I know that you want them saved more than I do. We could pray that for church. Do you believe that God's will for people to be in church? Absolutely. And we could go with confidence, not arrogance. Lord, you are more concerned than I am. Can you touch their heart that they desire to be to church? Could you get rid of the distractions that may hinder them from coming? Get rid of the excuses. I could pray that in Jesus' name, but I can't control any of that, but my master can. I am now praying in alignment. Now, we understand that that also precurses that you need to know what God's will is. How do I know God's will? He's written it down for us. We don't have to hope or guess or think. We could say, Father, let's see what you're thinking about in Genesis. Father, let's see what you're thinking about in Isaiah. You understand, when you open this, you open the mind of God. You want to know what God's thinking about? Open up the Bible. God, I see how you're thinking. I could see what you desire. I don't have to hope or guess or think. Lord, you say in your word, this is what you desire, what you want to get accomplished. And Lord, I could pray in alignment. This is what you want. Again, God doesn't make the Christian life complicated. We do. We could just find what God is thinking, what God wants, and pray in alignment with this. This is the idea of praying in Jesus' name. So if you don't mind, let's just explore these couple chapters and these passages that deal with praying in Jesus' name. And let's see what Jesus does to explain what it means to pray in his name and these promises that are attached with it. Let's understand the privilege that God has given to us to be able to claim his name, that we're praying in alignment, and what that means. The first thing I'd like to show you is that asking in Jesus' name aligns us with God's glory. Praying in Jesus' name aligns us with God's glory. Notice, if you don't mind, back in John 14, starting in verse 13. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do. Now, I've heard so many people put a period there. Notice the punctuation, that it's not a period. There's a comma. That means the thought is continued. Whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do. Why? That the Father may be glorified in the Son. When we pray, not in our will, not the way that we want, but we pray aligned with what God is, that Jesus is going to answer it because it glorifies God. The things that God does glorifies him. Let's take this. God, give me grace to respond properly, even though I hurt. We can align that. And we know that God can provide grace. And you know what happens? God answers that, and we could glorify God. God answered that prayer. God glorified his name by answering that prayer. I could pray with confidence now. You know, this helps us to not pray wimpy prayers. Lord, if you feel like it, will you kind of help me out through the day? That's praying wimpy. God doesn't command us to pray wimpy. He wants to pray confidence. Lord, I need grace. In order for your servant to respond properly today, because if I do not have your grace, I won't respond properly and your name won't be glorified. Amen. I need your grace, even though I hurt, even though I'm discomforted, even though I'm distracted. I need your grace to go in spite of it, despite of it, and that you would allow me to glorify your name. In Jesus' name, I pray this. God wants to glorify his name. And he wants us to be able to say, look at what God did. Look at what God did. I couldn't do this. I couldn't change life. I couldn't supply this. Lord, your servant has a bill and it has to be paid. I didn't cause this bill, or it was a natural course. I don't have enough to supply it, but I could pray in your name that you would supply it, that I could glorify you. When God supplies, it becomes a lot more exciting. Look at what God did. I couldn't pay this bill. I couldn't get this done. Look at what God did. He's a great God. He's a supplier. And we could trust in him. And we could pray in Jesus' name. Again, especially when we look at ourselves as a servant and he's the master. And the master wants the servant to brag on the master. Let me tell you what my master can do. Let me show you what my master is better than your master. Like, kind of like kids on the thing. My daddy's better than your daddy. My master can supply my needs. And I could pray in his name that he would glorify himself through supplying this. God can give me grace that even though I hurt, and if it was without God's grace, I could not crawl to church. But I can pray, God, I can't make it today. Can you give me grace? Now, understand that God doesn't take away the pain, but he could allow us to function despite of the pain. And say, look at what God can do. I wish he would take away pain, but it doesn't work that way. He gives us grace. That means power beyond our ability to do something that we can't. God is able to supply, to glorify his name. God wants us to be able to pray in Jesus' name so the Father is glorified. He's telling us that this is not just about presenting requests. It is presenting the request with confidence, because it will glorify God. By the way, if your prayers won't glorify God, you can't pray them in Jesus' name. Lord, I need that red Lamborghini. You know so much. God's probably not going to be glorified. You got a red Lamborghini. You'd probably be bragging on yourself. Look at my red Lamborghini. Look how great I am. Look at how wonderful I am. And God's not going to get much glory. You are. And God says, I'm not sharing glory with any man. It's probably why a lot of our prayers aren't answered, because they're not aligned with him. And we don't even plan on glorifying God. Lord, I need $100, but you're not planning on thanking him afterwards. Well, you know, if it's not going to glorify God, we can't pray in his name with confidence. Notice, if you don't mind, as we continue on. It says in verse 14, and if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Jesus goes back and re-emphasizes it. He repeats himself to say, listen, I'm giving you a way. You glorify God's name. You pray in my name. It's aligned to my will. I will do it. We have a God who doesn't just say, well, I'll answer this, but I won't answer this. You know, there's a God who delights in answering prayers. He loves to answer prayers. In fact, if we would pray more, he would answer more. Then why don't we pray? Because we're not going to our master for whom he is and praying in alignment with him. And we miss out on so much because God wants to glorify ourselves. If we would be in the habit of glorifying God and thanking God for everything that he gave to us, we would pray more. You know, there's something about being thankful and recognizing what God has done. I'm sure like you or like me that you've had many times where God answered prayer and you didn't go back to thank him. You didn't give God any kind of glory from it. You just took it for granted. God wants us to be able to glorify in him when it's all said and done. And he loves impossible prayers, so that way we can't share glory with anybody. Look at what he did. And we could pray with confidence that asking in Jesus' name, it's carrying the idea that it aligns us with God's glory. As we move on to another passage dealing with this, notice within the gospel record of John chapter 15. And we could see bearing fruit through asking in Jesus' name. Bearing fruit by asking through Jesus' name. Notice with me in John 15. And notice with me in verse number 16. Now, the whole passage is a famous passage of the vine and the branches. Jesus is explaining that without me, you can do nothing. Nothing. And we have to believe that's true. And when we believe that's true, that we're the servant and he's the master, we could pray along with that. God, I cannot get this accomplished, but you can. I cannot supply this, but you can. Lord, this is your responsibility to take care of. It's your church you need to meet these needs. I can do nothing. Lord, I need you to supply the words. I don't have the words. And notice as this now culminates, he goes through the entire chapter talking about the vine and the branches. Verse number 16. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you. Why? Why did he choose us? Why did he choose us? That ye shall go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give to you. God wants us to have fruit that remains. Now, so that way we're not ambiguous, let's define our terms. There's a term in science that's called the law of biogenesis. You're like, well, that's a big fancy thing. That just simply says everything reproduces after its own kind. We can understand that. Cats will produce more. Dogs will produce more. Fish will produce more. All right, that's the law of biogenesis. Apple trees will produce. Good. Banana trees will produce. Good. So everything reproduces after its own kind. So if we have fruit remaining, what is the natural fruit of a Christian? More Christians. And so God wants us to be fruitful. How? By reproducing ourselves, the law of biogenesis. By the way, the law of biogenesis also states every healthy organism reproduces itself. Every healthy organism reproduces itself. So any organism that is not able to reproduce itself is not healthy. So again, we're just defining our terms. So God wants us to have fruit, but not just fruit that remains. Well, that's encouraging. I don't want to labor and then find all my fruit went away. It disappeared. It was gone. Nothing to be seen there. I can pray in Jesus' name, Lord, you want me to reproduce myself. You're the master. I'm the servant. I can't do this on my own. But I can pray in your name that you can see this person saved, that you could give me the words to say to influence them, that you could work on their heart. And I could pray this in Jesus' name, aligned with his will, because he wants to see fruit. He wants us to have fruit that remains, fruit that lasts, fruit that goes on. That's what God wants us to see and to experience for ourselves, is this mission that whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that may I give it to you. We're so thankful that the promise of asking in Jesus' name is directly connected to the disciples' ability to bear fruit. They're not asking for their personal desires, but they're asking for the resources needed to be able to carry out the mission that God has given to them. That praying in Jesus' name becomes now a tool for spiritual growth, for ministry, for fruitfulness. We know that the law of biogenesis, we said everything reproduces after its own kind, and every healthy organism produces its own kind. We also carry the idea that every mature organism reproduces after its own kind. I'll give an example. We know that having a five-year-old saying, all right, when are you going to have a kid? That's not the right time. Yeah. There needs to be a maturity. There's a time of expectation of maturity. Well, you know, brand new Christians, there's sometimes a maturity to have the fruit that remains, to be able to long-lasting. There's such a thing called a morning glory flower. And this is a type of flower that only blooms right away in the morning, and by noon, it wilts and dies. There's a lot of Christian who are morning glories. They bloom Sunday morning, and then they die the rest of the week. God wants us to have fruit that remains. And with it, he doesn't want us to wilt and die and just kind of rise up once every week. But there's a maturity that we're being consistent. God, help me to be the servant that you want me to be. Train me, mature me, teach me. Help me to be this. I can pray in his name because he wants me to have fruit that remains. I could pray with confidence as a privilege for wisdom, for strength, for the things that's going to help me to grow so I can be the mature plant that sees fruit that remains. To have God's life as the focus of my life, the purpose of my life, the desire of my life. And I could pray in Jesus' name. Now, once again, God is not aligning our prayers when we're saying, Lord, I want something that will keep me away from you. We're not going to be able to pray in confidence in Jesus' name. Lord, help me to find something to help me skip church. We're not going to be able to pray that in Jesus' name. We're not going to be able to pray in Jesus' name things that will keep us from following after him, doing what we ought to do, things that will hinder and stunt our growth. When we're praying in Jesus' name, again, we're aligning ourselves with God's will and what he wants us to get accomplished. And with that, we could pray with confidence. Is it God's will for you to read your Bible? And if you go to God in sincerity and say, Lord, I have a difficulty reading my Bible. Would you help me in your name? Will God answer that prayer? Because that's what we need to mature. Lord, I have a hard time praying. Many of us can say that. We pray sporadically, but we just don't take the time to pray. Lord, I know I need to. In your name, can you help me to pray? Will God answer that prayer? Absolutely he will. Because that's aligning with his will, and that's what we need to grow and to mature. And we could pray with confidence. We don't have to pray wimpy. Lord, I know that you're busy and you got plenty of people to listen to. And if you could just maybe once in a while help me to pray and talk to you. Okay, thank you. What's praying wimpy? God doesn't want us to pray every now and again whenever we feel like it. He wants us to have a healthy relationship. Again, the whole passage was the vine and the branches. Without me, you can do nothing. He says, listen, I will answer those prayers that make you realize you need me, that you plug into me, that you're dependent upon me and not yourself. I want you to grow. I want you to be spiritually mature. And the only way you could do that is to be plugged into me. And you could pray with confidence. Now remember, Jesus is going to die. He's leaving the disciples alone. He doesn't want them to die on the vine. He wants them to multiply. He wants them to have fruit, and not just fruit that remains, that will continue on. What good would the first century church be that as soon as Jesus died, that the disciples kind of puttered out and then didn't tell anybody, didn't have any power? It wouldn't have done any good. All that work to start the New Testament church and for it to die. When you look at the book of Acts, you don't see the ability of the disciples. You see the inability of the disciples as they depended upon the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit do the work. By the way, because fruit bearing is a spiritual work, it's not something we can do. It's just something we can be a part of. God has to do the work, and we have to be dependent upon him. If you don't mind, as we continue on, we see another passage about asking in Jesus' name in John 16. John chapter 16. As Jesus now is on his last segment, as they're getting to the Garden of Gethsemane, many people feel like they've already arrived by this time, and he's giving instructions before he goes to pray. In John chapter 16, notice with me in verse number 23. John 16 and verse number 23. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Hereto you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be fulfilled. And so when Jesus is talking now, he's beginning to say that very soon you're going to ask me in my body nothing. But you'll be able to ask in my name. Understand that Jesus is going to be taken up. In fact, hold your finger here. Notice back with me in John chapter 14. John chapter 14 and verse number 16. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. That word another is very significant. The word another means the another of the same kind. Another of the same kind. Jesus says, I am leaving and I'm sending you another of the same kind. I'm sending you something just as good as me. Amen. He's not sending something inferior. He's not sending something less than, by the way, the Holy Spirit is just as much God as God the Father and God the Son. There's one God, three aspects of the same God. And Jesus in John 16 now is saying, very soon, boys, I'm going to the cross. I'm going to be taken from you. You are not going to be asking physical Jesus anything. You're going to ask him nothing. But you're going to be able to pray in my name. And it's going to get accomplished. It'll be just the same as if you asked me directly. That's helpful. By the way, none of us have asked physical Jesus anything. But when we're talking then, does that mean that our prayers just kind of float around? No, we're still talking to a direct person. But the vehicle of prayer, the Holy Spirit who lives inside of us, translates the prayer to Jesus. Jesus takes the prayer to the Father. All at once, because they're the same person. But when we're praying, we're talking to a real person, and it's just as real if he was standing right in front of me. Now, why do some people have a hard time praying? Because they don't know what they're praying to. But if you could keep in mind that when you're praying to God, it's just as if Jesus was right in front of you. Master, I need help. Master, this is what I need. Master, what do you want me to do? Now, if you had physical Jesus here, that's different, at least in our minds. Let's say that he is watching a building project. Jesus, what do you want me to do? Can he direct us? Yeah. Can Jesus direct us from heaven the same way? Jesus, I need some more money. And if I'm looking at him directly, can I get some money so I could go take care of this? And he could give us money. When we're talking to God up in heaven, is it just the same? Yeah. It is. Because we're talking to a real person. And we could pray in Jesus' name. And it's just as good as if we were talking to a physical, bodily Jesus in front of us. Because we're talking to a real being. And we could pray in Jesus' name. Now, if I was talking to Jesus directly, I wouldn't say in Jesus' name. Because he knows who I'm talking to. When we're saying in Jesus' name, we're lining up with him and we're carrying that authority. Jesus, I'm in your name, I'm asking for this. And we could trust God to work. Now this is encouraging because he didn't send us a replacement. The disciples were not worse off because Jesus ascended to heaven. Isn't that encouraging? Jesus said, I'm not going to give you something worse. I'm not going to make things worse because I'm gone. I'm going to help you through for you to continue, for you not to stop. Even though I'm not physically bodily here, the Holy Spirit's just as if I was physically bodily here. I'm sending another comforter, one of the same sort. And soon you're not going to ask me physically anything, but you're still going to be able to pray just as if I was here. Now, again, that's more meaningful for the disciples than us. For the last 3 years, they could go to Jesus directly and talk to him and ask him for things. Jesus is saying, all right, things are going to work a little bit different, but the same. I'm not going to be here. It's going to be different, but you still talk to me just the same. And as you talk to me in my name, it's just as if you were talking to me face to face. And I'm still just as real to help, just as real to hear, just as real to direct. He said, pray in my name. Again, verse 23, and in that day ye shall ask me nothing, and verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Hereto you have asked nothing in my name, meaning that while this time you haven't asked in my name, because you haven't had to, you just said, Jesus, ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. You know there's joy in asking in Jesus' name. It's just as if we were talking to him directly, but when he fulfills and answers that prayer, we go, wow, what a God. Look, he's just as real. My God is not imaginary. My God is not fake. My God is not a senile old man who's wandering around heaven trying not to fall downstairs. He hears and answers prayer. And it's real. I'm not talking to an imaginary man who's invisible. I'm not talking to my imaginary friend. I am talking to a real God who hears me. By the way, just to be heard sometimes is a comfort. Amen. And to know that I could pray in confidence in Jesus' name that he hears me and that he is able to answer, I can have joy. Praise the Lord, I can have peace. What a wonderful God. He is real and it's meaningful to me. What a great God that we could pray in his name. I'm thankful that our joy is not dependent on circumstances. It's rooted in the assurance that he hears us and that he's able to answer prayers. There's one more passage where it talks about praying in Jesus' name. In John 16, where we're still at, notice as we now drop down to verse number 26. And we see the privilege and power of praying in Jesus' name. Notice in verse 26. At that day ye shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. For the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me and have believed that I have come out of the Father. What we see here is that we have a great privilege that we can talk to the Father himself because of this. That we believe that Jesus is God, we could talk to Father, and we have direct access. We don't have to go through a mediator, through a person. We don't have to go through a church. We don't have to go through anything. That we could talk to God himself because of who Jesus is. To ask in Jesus' name is recognizing this privilege. I have the boldness to go to the throne room of grace because Jesus told me I could. There's something about having access. If I remember the details right, back in the 1800s, when the White House didn't have the security it had today, people could go into the White House lawn. And there happened to be Abraham Lincoln's boy playing. Just playing out in the yard and having a good time. And he heard someone at the gate, we saw gates, they had like a little border, that was about it. And just one of the guards. And the guy was saying, "Can I speak to Abraham Lincoln?" "No, you can't." "I need to speak to Abraham Lincoln." The boy goes up and says, "He's my father, let me lead." And he led the man directly to Abraham Lincoln. That man now had access to the president because of the son. We have access to the God of glory because of the son. And God, by the way, is not distracted. My wife tells an illustration that imagine a king in a castle, and it's a busy castle. There's lots of things going on, lots of servants. There's lots of things going on. And you have the ability to go straight to the king and say, "Father." And it's like the father comes and sets you on his lap. And at that moment, he's so attent to you that it's almost like none of that noise is going on. He's not distracted. He's not looking at his phone. He's not doodling. His eyes are locked on you. And you get to talk directly to the Father and get his full attention. Amen. Because of the access we have in Jesus' name. That we can go boldly, not arrogantly, but boldly to the throne of grace. Because of the access and privilege we have of Jesus' name. That we could talk directly to the Father. "Father, this is what I need. Father, I hurt. Father," and our Father is able to hear us directly and care for us because of the privilege of Jesus' name. So you understand, when we're saying we're praying in Jesus' name, we have to avoid it because many of us have built a bad habit that when we say in Jesus' name, if we could be honest, we're violating one of the commandments. We're taking the name of God in vain because it doesn't mean to us. It just filler words. It's how we sign off. But we don't think about how important that phrase is. In Jesus' name. By the way, if you're conscious of it, you don't even have to put that at the end of the prayer. In the middle of the prayer, "Lord, in Jesus' name, I'm asking this." That means I've aligned with God's will. That phrase means something. It is very important. "In Jesus' name, I'm coming to you, God, because I have access to you. And I need you now, Father. I need you to take care of something. And I want to glorify your name." Because of Jesus' name, we can glorify God. You understand, to pray in Jesus' name is one of the most powerful phrases we have attached to God's name. By the way, as we start learning the different names of God, you could pray, "I pray in the name of the Jehovah Jireh, that you're the God who's able to provide. And I'm claiming that name and I'm coming up to you saying I need and I don't have." I can go to the Jehovah Nisi. His banner over me is love. The days that I don't feel loved, "God, I need loved right now. I need your love because it feels like everyone's against me. And it feels like everyone wants me to stop. And I want to quit. I just need to know that my daddy loves me. My father loves me. I'm praying in your name, having confidence, aligning with your will that, Lord, you do love me. I just needed to know that." We could learn these names of God and we could pray in that name. "Lord, I'm coming and I'm crawling upon you, the Lord of hosts." By the way, we're going to see that on Wednesday. When Isaiah goes to pray, the very first name he calls upon, Lord of hosts. "Lord of hosts, I need you now." He's praying in his name. "Lord, I'm calling upon you, the God of the armies of the heaven. There's an army out there I can't beat and I need your protection or we're cooked." He could pray in God's name. He could pray aligned with God's name. He could pray to the glory of God's name. You understand, this is a great privilege that we have. One of the most important ways that we could use God's name, because it gives us access. It gives us direct access. It allows us to line up with God's will. It allows us to be able to consciously say, Lord, when I'm signing this, I'm signing Jesus' name to it. That means I'm aligned with his will. I believe that Jesus would approve of this prayer. To pray in Jesus' name is a big deal. And we need to be very conscious of it. Praise the Lord for the access we have. So you say, what do we do with this? What do you have to do to pray? What is it that you need to pray for? What is it that you need God to take care of in order for you to succeed in the Christian life? What is it that you need him to supply so you could be the Christian you ought to be, so you can move forward in what he's given you to do? Again, we're not praying selfishly or our own request or things that are misaligned. But we're lining them up and say, this Jesus would approve of this prayer. And I need him now. What a wonderful God that we have. Let's talk to him now. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you again that we could come to you. And that we can come boldly to you now. That as we're praying, we're talking to a person, a real being who's listening to us and who cares. We understand our own inability, our own frailty, our own weaknesses, that without you, we are truly nothing. But I'm thankful that we've given access to you and we could ask anything that we need to be able to move forward in our Christian life, to move forward in the work that you have us to do. And we could go with boldness in your name. Lord, we're a needy people. And we need you more than we think. Our lack of prayer shows that we had a place of arrogance where we think that we could get by without you. Lord, I need thee every hour, every moment of the day. I need you. And I'm thankful I could talk to you as often and as much as I need to. And that you'll never get bored with me. You'll never get annoyed with me. That I have this great privilege to talk to you. Lord, I'm asking that you would strengthen someone's prayer life. And I could pray that in your name because I believe it would bring you glory. I believe it's your will that you would help people with their prayer lives. Help me with my prayer life. That you could bring much glory and much fruit as we allow you to be God and take care of these needs, these supplies. We can trust you. Lord, I'm asking that this would even revolutionize someone's prayer life when they understand this concept that you provided for us. And we can pray this in confidence because of your holy name. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you could give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.